been listening to your show on the radio, and you seem like a friend to me.
Hi, it's Shannon,
Emily,
and Hannah,
and you're listening to
90.7
FM
WGXC
ACRA.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Akron. You've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. We've got all kinds of things for you today, including an interview with Ron Deutsch of New Yorkers for Fiscal Fairness, discussing the latest proposal for New York State budget. We'll also hear some classic jazz from Henry Threadgill and Albert Eiler, and we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all begins after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news. This is the network.
This
is the
news.
This is the network.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Glen Falls House in Round Top, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Ted Remsnyder is reporting for Columbia Green Media that the town of Catskill is now in the process of crafting zoning regulations for short-term rental properties. The town board examined the first draft of the zoning proposals from the planning board on February 1st. Under the first draft of those changes, a short-term rental permit would be required prior to a property being used as a short-term rental. A short-term rental agreement would be good for one calendar year. The units would have to be inspected by the town code enforcement officer for compliance with town and state codes. Quote, "We've still got a ways to go," unquote, Catskill Town Supervisor Dale Finch said last week. Quote, "We fine-tuned it a little bit more last night, and we're really going to go back and look at it again. So we're probably not looking at a public hearing until March. Then we'll get into the public hearings, and depending on how that goes, we'll move forward with enacting some of those zoning changes," unquote. Under the proposed zoning codes, a short-term rental permit would be transferable to a new owner as long as the new owner registers with the town, updates the short-term rental permit application, and agrees in writing to comply with the requirements of the short-term rental permit and these regulations within 30 days of the sale. Town board member Jared Giordano said, quote, the town board made some changes, and then it'll go back to those guys, and they'll look at them again and see if they want any additional changes. Then we'll move forward with the process, unquote. The board is also weighing changes to its solar zoning regulations. Under the potential changes to the solar zoning laws, capacity would be increased for residential solar units. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
The Tasha Von Holdridge reports for Columbia Green Media that one of the three wells that supplies drinking water for the people of Belasia is contaminated with the forever chemical PFOS. Village Mayor Frank Bevins said February 2nd, and I quote, we exceeded the MCL. So when that happens, we immediately shut down that well. We contacted the county health department, and we're working with the county health department and the state health department because we're under their guidance when it comes to stuff like this, end quote. The well tested 14 parts per trillion, exceeding New York's limit of 10 PPT. Columbia County Department of Health Director Jack Mabb said, and I quote, they found out in the fourth quarter of 2021, and they immediately switched the well off. So there are no issues for any of the residents whatsoever, end quote. Except for the tainted water residents drank before the well was shut down. PFOS, a toxic chemical, has also been found recently in the drinking water at New Lebanon Junior Senior High School, in Cairo's drinking water in Columbia County, at two locations in Rensselaer County, and in Newburgh. Read more about this story in Columbia Green Media.
Brendan J. Lyons is reporting for the Times Union that agents with the Federal Bureau of Investigation on February 3rd confiscated the mobile phones of Rensselaer County Operations Director Richard W. Crist and Jim Gordon, the county's director of purchasing and a political ally of County Executive Steve McLaughlin. The phone seizures took place at the county office complex in Troy. The FBI is continuing to investigate alleged absentee ballot fraud in the county. William J. Dreyer, Crist's attorney, declined to comment. Gordon could not be reached for comment. The mobile numbers for Crist and Gordon were turned off that same afternoon. In November and December, absentee ballots handled by Crist and Gordon were being examined by state police and FBI agents in separate but coordinated investigations. Those probes are examining allegations of fraud stretching back several years. The FBI's investigation into absentee ballot fraud has focused on Gordon's role in gathering absentee ballots at a public housing apartment complex in Lansingburg. Crist's involvement with the absentee ballots in the Rensselaer mayoral race has been examined by the state police. Investigators seized incumbent Mayor Michael Stommel's mobile phone in mid-December at City Hall. The ballot fraud investigation involves the U.S. Attorney's Office in Albany and the State Attorney General's Office. The FBI seizure of the two phones happened the same day that McLaughlin appeared in Rensselaer County Court for a pretrial conference in his unrelated criminal case involving the alleged theft and misuse of campaign funds. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Bethany Bump reports in the Times Union that Governor Kathy Hochul signed an executive order January 31st, extending a statewide disaster declaration and postponing a law that would require nursing homes to boost spending on resident care and staffing while capping profits at 5%. The law is now suspended through at least March 1st. Two new reports found that the nursing home suing to block the law would have reported over $510 million in, and I quote, excess, end quote, profits had the law been in effect in 2019. Richard Mallott, executive director of the Long-Term Care Community Coalition, a group that advocates for better nursing home care, said, and I quote, nursing homes are entrusted to provide decent care and dignity for our most vulnerable residents. The fact that so many joined in this lawsuit to avoid even modest financial accountability speaks volumes about the industry's priorities. Is there anything that we can do to get them to stop putting profits over patients? End quote. The law that is being delayed would require nursing homes to spend at least 70% of their annual gross revenues on resident care, including at least 40% on staff. A report issued last week by the Center for Medicare Advocacy found that New York nursing homes already receive hundreds of millions of dollars that they could redirect to resident care. The report concluded, and I quote, "Policymakers must require greater transparency and accountability in how facilities spend the money they receive for care before they consider increasing payments to facilities," end quote. Hochul's office did not respond to a request seeking comment, but a spokesperson for the State Department of Health said that nursing homes were still encouraged to comply with the law, but would not be penalized if they didn't, and I quote, "in light of the current staffing crisis," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Mid-Hudson News is reporting that Acting Dutchess County Sheriff Kirk Imperati has declared his candidacy for sheriff. He plans to run for his own four-year term on the Republican and conservative ballot lines in November. A 30-year veteran of the department, Imperati was appointed interim sheriff in September after the late Butch Anderson died. He served as Anderson's undersheriff for 14 years. Quote, "I have the experience, I have the expertise, and I have the drive and desire to take the Dutchess County Sheriff's Office to the next level," unquote, he said. Quote, "We have done a lot of great things over that time, from developing an internal affairs bureau to being the architect for the police modernization and reform plan for the Dutchess County Sheriff's Office, helping other law enforcement agencies in Dutchess County develop a police modernization and reform, and I think I have what it takes to take it to the next level," unquote, he said. Imperati is a 1987 graduate of Arlington High School and holds degrees in criminal justice from Dutchess Community College and Marist College. He was hired by the sheriff's office in 1993. He started as a road patrol deputy in the Harlem Valley and made a detective in 2004. Imperati instituted the School Resource Officer Program, implemented the department's Internal Affairs Division, and was the architect for the Police Reform and Modernization Plan for the Sheriff's Office and other agencies in the county. He has already been endorsed by several police unions and the corrections officers at the Dutchess County Jail. Dutchess County GOP Chair Michael McCormick said of Imperati, quote, "His decades of service in the department are stellar and beyond reproach. Dutchess County is so very fortunate to have Kirk watching over and protecting our families, and we need to stay the path," unquote. Dutchess County Democratic Party Chair Julie Shirashisi said her party has no one to challenge Imperati yet, but she does not envision her party cross-endorsing him. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
The Daily Freeman reports that Representative Antonio Delgado had $5 million more in campaign funds than Republican challenger Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro in their 19th congressional district election. Molinaro must defeat Republican Brandon Bukola in a June primary to face off against Delgado, who so far does not have any challenges from his party. Delgado ended the year with $5,480,936.71 in cash on hand, according to the Federal Elections Commission. Molinaro, who began his campaign in September, had $423,619.64. Delgado is completing his second term after beating Republican John Faso in 2018. Both candidates live in Dutchess County, with Delgado in Rhinebeck and Molinaro in Red Hook, while serving his third four-year term as Dutchess County Executive. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Paul Kirby reports in the Daily Freeman that the Ulster County Surrogate Court inside the Ulster County building begins hosting an exhibit featuring important documents from the life of abolitionist Sojourner Truth on February 4th. Truth was born a slave as Isabella Balmfree in Ulster County in 1797 and escaped with her infant daughter to freedom in 1826. Under her new name, she campaigned to eliminate slavery in America and helped recruit black troops for the Union Army during the Civil War. After the war, she campaigned for African-American rights in the land of the Ku Klux Klan. The exhibit in Ulster County contains two competing newspaper accounts of Truth's "Ain't I a Woman" speech, as well as a handbill Truth used to advertise for her speaking engagements and some of her own probate documents. Quote, "A few months after I took office in 2017, I learned that our county office archives contain a bond filed in Sojourner Truth's 1828 lawsuit to win her son's freedom, a proceeding Truth brought only 2 years after she was emancipated from slavery," unquote. Ulster County Surrogate Judge Sarah McGinty said in a statement, quote, "Then I learned that the county also has a surrogate's court document dating back to 1810, which lists Sojourner Truth as an asset of the estate of her deceased owner. The document, which I've seen several times, is an inventory of assets, a form of report still employed in surrogate's court, unquote, McGinty wrote. Quote, Truth is described as Negro wench Isabella. She is valued at $100. At the time, she was about 8 years old. The exhibit is open to the public each Friday to anyone who makes reservations at nshultis@nycourts.gov. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, wgxc.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Friday, the winter weather advisory will still be in effect until 5 p.m. There will be snow and sleet becoming all snow after 10 a.m. with a temperature high near 24 degrees. On Friday night, a chance of snow showers mainly after 7 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 9 degrees and wind chill values as low as minus 2 degrees. And on Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 21 degrees. And Saturday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 1 degree. And that is your weather update from WGXE, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Friday, February 4th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGXC, including at 10 a.m. It's time for the Global Go-Go Show, with tracks today from Anur Kador Cherif, Devon Hanna, and DJ Rato Piano, among others. Then Jared Wugashud is live from the WGXC Hudson Studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street, with funk, R&B, rock, pop, and more on the Sugar Shack Jukebox until 2 p.m. today. At 4 p.m., we are live with improvisers from around the world, from Colorado, California, Buffalo, and more, with the Conduction Series monthly improvisation after the local news on the WGXC Afternoon Show. And at 6 p.m., we're live from Main Street in Catskill with Clubhouse Radio and the teens there with their songs and stories. At 7 p.m., the teens in Hudson that tell us what they've been reading on the Bound by Books show with the folks from the Hudson Area Library. And at 8 p.m., there's a new show in WGXC called Driftless Turmoil, tonight featuring tracks from All Pairs, The Magnetic Fields, Run the Jewels, and others, before Guy and Friends takes over at 10 p.m. with Guy Welchek on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Catskill's Brian Dewan has his annual Valentine's Day show this year on Sunday, February 13th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Turn out Sunday, February 13th at 8 p.m. at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, or tune in to a live web stream at WGXC.org. Click on the Listen button at the top of any WGXC.org webpage and scroll down to find the live webcast of Brian Dewan's Valentine's show with songs of love and devotion throughout the centuries on accordion, electric, zither, and other instruments. His performance is live at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, Sunday, February 13th at 8 p.m. and online at WGXC.org.
A wondrous thing, the human heart.
On the next Deep Threes, we'll hear a piece from Danish trumpeter Polly Mickelborg's tribute to Miles Davis that was inspired by the colors of the legend's aura, plus exotic sounds from Makanuchi Bento, Yan Lin Chen, and Tatiana Koleva. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, February 4th. Early this morning, we are well below freezing with 21 degrees in Oak Hill and 25 degrees in Queechy. The Twin Counties look like they will have sleet conditions most of the day. Reports of surface ice are out, so avoid travel if you can. If you can't, plan extra time and be sure to have a cold weather emergency kit with you. Sleet keeps falling till about 1 p.m., then a switch to snow can happen before precipitation tapers off after dark. Keep in mind that this is being recorded early this morning and conditions could change a little bit through the day. A high of 24 degrees is expected this morning, and it is the best that we're going to do as temperatures will slide all day and all night, landing at 10 degrees by dawn tomorrow. Saturday will be dry with a high of 23. Some stiff winds make conditions sub-freezing. Going outside means layering up. Bring the hat, gloves, and sunglasses. A tap dripping 2 degrees overnight takes us into a dry Sunday with a high of 28. Conditions ease up a bit into freezing territory. Layering up is still important. Monday is looking dry with a high of 38 degrees. Sunset today will be at 4:58 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:01 a.m. Looking way up, we see magnetic storms are possible over the weekend as a thick plasma stream flows over our planet. Solar wind speed is currently 520 kilometers per second at 9.3 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently absolute crap. Any worse and bands will start to close outright. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4, unsettled. The current sunspot number is 84. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Elizabeth LoJudas of Hanacroy, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits. We'll be right back.
From the 1993 album Too Much Sugar for a Dime, that was Henry Threadgill with Little Pocket Sized Demons.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Diplomacy is still a door that's open. I would strongly recommend that, Putin think about that.
Idaho Republican Senator Jim Reich on a potential Moscow invasion of Ukraine. Lawmakers received classified briefings on tensions between the two countries and a counterterrorism raid that killed a top ISIS leader. Republican Bernie Moreno dropped out of the crowded Ohio Senate primary Thursday, citing a conversation with former President Donald Trump. Moreno was a leading GOP contender to replace retiring Republican Senator Rob Portman. At a hearing, lawmakers pressed FAA Administrator Stephen Dixon on why Verizon and AT&T turned off 5G towers near major airports due to safety concerns over interference with plane landing equipment. Dixon said he did not want to point fingers, but added the FCC's process didn't serve anyone well. He also addressed the potential dangers of 5G phones if passengers don't put them on airplane mode.
These are the kinds of things that you can only determine through the kind of flight testing that we're doing now, and with the telecommunications and aviation industry sharing information with each other.
Vice President Harris delivered remarks yesterday at the National Prayer Breakfast, emphasizing the toll the pandemic has taken on Americans.
Our faith has indeed been tested, but it is that same faith, our faith in God, our faith in humanity, and our faith in what is possible. It is that same faith that I know has seen us through.
President Biden encouraged members of Congress to get to know each other outside of politics and stressed the importance of unifying a polarized nation. At New York Police Headquarters Thursday, President Biden addressed surging gun violence across the nation, joined by Congresswoman Nadia Velasquez.
Because we are on the ground, we know what works and what doesn't work.
Six NYPD officers have been shot, two fatally so far in 2022. 2 years into the pandemic, an analysis from the New York Times finds the coronavirus is killing Americans at far higher rates than people in other wealthy nations. Deaths from the Omicron variant have surpassed the fall Delta surge and are more than two-thirds as high as last winter's records. NASA has announced operations at its International Space Station will end in 2031, when the agency will direct it to crash into a remote part of the Pacific Ocean. And hundreds of thousands of homes and businesses across the U.S. lost power Thursday as utilities struggled to keep pace with wintry weather. Heavy snow is expected from the southern Rockies to northern New England. I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
from the 1968 album New Grass. That was Sun Watcher from Albert Eiler on the radio at WGXC.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined by Ron Deutsch with the New Yorkers for Fiscal Fairness, and we've had Ron on a couple times to talk about the overall state's financial picture and the state budget. Now, last year, there was some success in raising some taxes on the most wealthiest New Yorkers. Understand we're going to continue that tax, and apparently not a lot of millionaires have hired you all to go down to Florida?
Yeah, it's nice to be with you, first of all. Thanks for having me on again. And yeah, I think one of the more startling things that we heard during the budget address was kind of after Governor Hochul's address, Budget Director Mojica was very clear about the fact that while, you know, New Yorkers have gone different places, mostly New York City folks fleeing to Long Island or the Hudson Valley for COVID-related reasons, he said that there was no attribution of people moving as a result of the enhanced millionaires tax. So, you know, I think for many of us, that was really a vindication. Since so many of the naysayers were basically talking about the fact that people would leave in droves if you increase their taxes a bit. So, you know, I think the reality is that we generated, you know, close to a $9 billion surplus of funds that we have this year that can be spent on, you know, items and spending needs that have long been overlooked by our previous governor.
Now, of course, you know, my recollection is that it's been decades since, you know, we didn't hear the warning signals that, oh, big deficit coming up. So, you know, what are some of the areas that the state's newfound wealth should be invested in? Of course, I would say climate, but understand caregivers looking for some extra money.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who have been left out of the budget for many, many years, and the governor, to her credit, did put in some cost of living adjustments for human service workers and home care workers and child care workers. But in reality, it's just not nearly enough. We need to do better by our caring community. And, you know, when we think about things like child care and home care, SUNY and CUNY. These are all things that when we talk about economic development that we really should be talking about. You know, these things have greater return on investment than most of the economic development programs that the state is operating right now. So I think there needs to be a real paradigm shift where we start rethinking how we think about economic development. And it shouldn't be about just, you know, giving one company, you know, a bucket of money in order to locate in New York or move from one area of New York to another. But in reality, we should be looking at more quality of life issues, which really drive local economies and, you know, get businesses to move there. So you can't have businesses operating if childcare is not available. People need childcare. So it's a big part of local economies. And we need to, you know, gain a better understanding of that and have that reflected in our economic development policy.
So you're saying you don't want economic development to focus primarily on corporate welfare, you know, aid to dependent corporations?
I think, yeah, I've been saying that for a quarter of a century now. So I'm hoping that people will actually start paying attention. And I do think people are paying more attention to it now. Because, you know, we've seen scandal after scandal over the last decade, especially around economic development. We've seen, you know, reporting that shows that many of these projects aren't meeting their job creation goals. We don't even have a real accounting of how much money we're spending. You know, we know that we're spending, you know, around $10 billion a year, basically half of that state and then half of that local. But we're just not tracking it well enough to know whether or not we're getting a good return on our investment. And every study I've seen that's been done, whether it was commissioned by the governor or independent kind of academic studies, it's very clear that these programs are not effective at all. and that these business subsidies are not really creating jobs?
You know, one of the things that New York State has often led the country in has been the issue of income, you know, inequality, and some of that does go back to the, you know, fact when you look at both the combination of local and state taxes, sales tax, property taxes, we have a very regressive, you know, tax situation. Is this still something that groups are pushing, you know, even though we have, you know, a little bit better financial situation, not only raising taxes on the wealthy, but really trying to, you know, promote more income equality?
Yeah, I think the way you promote income equality at this point in time is to start spending on the services that low-income families need to thrive. So if you really want to close the income gap, let's make sure that families can get access to childcare and that it's, you know, affordable, if not free, for families under a certain income level. That's going to be incredibly important. You know, providing affordable housing is essential so that people aren't spending ridiculous amounts of their income on housing alone. I think there's a lot of things that we can be doing in terms of investments that we haven't been making for the last decade that need to be made that could start to address income inequality and start to move that needle.
Now, you know, my, you know, issue is the fact that the state is talking about, you know, we're going to need somewhere between 10 to 15 up to $45 billion a year to deal with climate. And a lot of that means, you know, if we want people to energy retrofit their homes, put in air heat pumps or, you know, geothermal, yeah, tax credits help for, you know, middle income wealthy people, but doesn't really help much for, you know, low income, you know, people. Why isn't the, it just seems like the legislature, you know, still gets scared that if they raise the taxes, it's going to hurt Democrats in their reelection efforts in the suburbs in particular.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think there is certainly more room to increase rates at the top. There certainly doesn't seem to be much of an appetite for it this year. So I think that remains to be seen. But I think, you know, New York is putting, you know, billions into the reserve fund or rainy day fund as well. So, you know, one has to ask the question, you know, would we be better off spending some of that money on addressing climate change, which, you know, undoubtedly has the most severe impact on low income communities, rather than, you know, putting it aside for a future rainy day, because I would suggest it's raining right now.
And of course, you know, a lot of workers and caregivers, you know, were hurt by the COVID crisis. I actually saw the landlords out saying, yeah, we need a couple billion dollars more to help out tenants who are in rent arrears. And, you know, a lot of immigrant workers, you know, weren't qualifying for the federal relief. You know, what is going on COVID relief? We get about 2 minutes left. So bring us home, Ron.
So I would suggest that a number of things are happening right now. One of the good things is that, you know, unlike her predecessor, Governor Cuomo, Governor Hochul is leaving the legislature with billions of dollars to determine how they feel it should be spent. The governor used to leave about $100 million on the table before it was bumping up against his self-imposed state spending cap, which we now, you know, are hoping is a relic of the past. But, you know, clearly there are needs that are out there that need to be met. So I think there's certainly the ability to fund many of these things that need to be funded and move this state forward. So I think, you know, this is the year of investing in New York and investing in New Yorkers. So we're hoping that that will continue and that the legislature will add additional dollars to the many things that were left out of the governor's executive budget proposal.
And won't there also be various federal, you know, relief dollars flowing in that can help at least some of the local infrastructure? And last 30 seconds, if people want more information about what you're working on, how do they find that?
Yeah, you can go to fiscalfairness.org. And check out our website, get in touch with us, and we'd be happy to talk with you more about these issues.
Ron Deutsch, New Yorkers for Fiscal Fairness, and this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.